Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and are come to worship him. It is written, and they struck him with their hands, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! It is written, these all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. It is written, and on his garment and on his thigh was his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Our God is just a prayer away.
I charge thee in the sight of God, who giveth life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession, that thou keep the commandment without spot, without reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in its own time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light unapproachable, whom no man hath seen, no, nor can see, to whom be honor and power eternal. Amen. The life that counts must toil and fight, must hate the wrong and love the right, must stand for truth by day and night. This is the life that counts. The life that counts must hopeful be, in darkness night make melody, must wait the dawn on bended knee. This is the life that counts. The life that counts must helpful be, the cares and needs of others see, must seek the slaves of sin to free. This is the life that counts. The life that counts is linked with God, and turns not from the cross, the rod, but walks with joy where Jesus trod. This is the life that counts. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message entitled, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
God is just a prayer away.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul told Timothy that when Jesus comes in his own time, he would show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light unapproachable, whom no man hath seen or can see, to whom be glory and power eternal. Amen. Jesus is King. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Notice he is King in the cradle. Luke records that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Matthew tells us concerning the infant Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and are come to worship him. Jesus was the king in the cradle. When they found the young child, they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave him gold, not a teddy bear, not a rattle, not a pacifier. They gave him gold because they were wise men and not dumb men. They gave him gold because God the Father, in providential ways, guided the Holy Family. He knew they would need gold to finance the trip to the land of Egypt. Jesus in the flesh needed gold. Paul reminds us that he is the head of the body, the church. His church body needs gold, just as much as his physical body needed it while here on earth. The first question that was asked in the first book of the Old Testament concerning the first Adam was, when God said, Adam, where art thou? The first question that was asked about the second Adam in the first book of the New Testament is, where is he? One prominent interviewer on television was asked, what would you ask God if you could interview him and ask him just one question? He said, I would ask him if he had a son. God has already answered that question. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. One of the great Hollywood legends was asked in an interview on television what he thought God would say to him when he died. He said, I hope he or she, whichever the case may be, will be merciful to me. Many people seem confused at this point. They wonder, is God really a he, or might he be a she? People have to be awful dumb to think of such a possibility that God is a she. Just think about it. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a she. If God is a she, that means that two she's produced a child. How ridiculous could a person be to think that God is a she? The first time Jesus came, there was very little joy, except for a few shepherds, wise men, Mary, Joseph, Anna, Simeon, Zacharias, and Elizabeth. For all else, it was a time of great foreboding. Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was all shook up because of the birth of a baby, Jesus. Jerusalem was all shook up because of what it meant politically. No telling what kind of trouble King Herod might cause. Now think of that. Jesus had not preached a single sermon, and the population was all shook up. Jesus had not worked a single miracle, and they were all shook up. He had not healed a single sick person or raised the dead, and they were all shook up. This troubled feeling is the indication of what the majority of the world will feel when the Lord comes again. Behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, yea, and they that pierced him. For if they were troubled over him as a baby, before he ever preached a sermon or worked a miracle, what will it be like when he comes again in all his glory? In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he identified himself as Jesus of Nazareth, they fell backwards on the ground. What will it be like when these miserable wretches are dragged out of their graves to stand before the King in his glory? One more thought about the King in the cradle before we move on. The scribes did not quote all the prophecy of Micah to King Herod. They said he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written through the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, land of Judah, art in no wise least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come forth a governor who shall be shepherd of my people Israel. The scribes were too cagey to tell the rest of it. The next statement of the prophecy says, whose going forth shall be from everlasting to everlasting. If they had indicated that the baby Jesus was the eternal creator from everlasting to everlasting, they knew King Herod well enough to know they might lose their heads. So they were cagey and told part of the prediction, but not all of it. In that case, I can't say I blame them, but that device of leaving off part of God's word and telling people a part of the message is still being practiced even to this day. Thousands are told to believe, and Jesus asked Jesus to come into their hearts. While nothing is said about repentance, nothing said about obedience. It has been almost 2,000 years since the birth of Jesus, and we can still say the one who is from everlasting to everlasting was the King in the cradle, King of kings and Lord of lords. Not only was Jesus King in the cradle, but he was also King on the cross. When Jesus appeared before Pilate, the first question that Pilate asked was, art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate pressed Jesus for the answer. Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest, I am a king. When Pilate turned Jesus over to his soldiers, they also were interested in his kingship. They gathered unto him the whole band and stripped him. They put on him a scarlet robe. They planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They struck a reed in his right hand and kneeled down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then to add insult to injury, they spat upon him. Then one by one, every member of this detail of soldiers slugged the Lord, one right after the other. The mockery of Jesus still goes on. The spit, the mockery, the buffeting, it's all there. Think of the person who walks down the aisle of a church and confesses that Jesus is the Christ, and then is obedient to the waters of baptism, and then misses the Lord's Supper for a ball game, or rearranges the Lord's Supper to a more convenient day and hour to accommodate worldly events, and then sings, "Jesus is all the world to me." What a mockery that service is. Sooner or later they will spit in the Savior's face for the last time. The mockery still goes on. Think of the mockery of those who sing, "I love to tell the story," and then refuse to tell the terms Jesus and the apostles gave for acceptance of the gospel. Jesus was the king on the cross. Everybody knew that Jesus was king on the cross because that was what the sign on the cross said. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The sign not only said it, but it was written in three languages. It was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. There would be no excuse for anyone not knowing that Jesus was king on the cross. That sign that day has been written in hundreds of other languages besides Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. The whole world knows that Jesus is king on the cross. The Apostle Paul gives us a definition of the sign that tells us exactly why Jesus was king on the cross when he said, "Christ died for our sins." Paul said that is the gospel. To say that that is not the most important part of the gospel is heresy. That is the sign that God put on the cross. All of our sins were written on the cross. Because of modern-day computers, we can understand how that could be. If a man-made computer can have a whole encyclopedia on a small disk, how much more then could God put on his celestial computer, a disk, where all of the sins of all the people who ever lived would be tabulated? Paul says in Colossians that when we were buried with him in baptism, he blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. My sins were all listed on the cross in that disk from the Lord's celestial computer. And when I obeyed the Lord by repentance and then was buried with him in baptism, God touched the delete button on his celestial computer, and all of my sins were gone. At the end of a faithful life, they will not be dredged up again to confront me. Jesus was king in the cradle, and Jesus is king on the cross, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is also king in the church. The church is the kingdom of God on earth. Paul tells us in Colossians that we have been translated out of the darkness of this world into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Then in the book of Acts, Paul preached at Thessalonica, and the charge was made, "These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also, and they say there is another king, one Jesus." Jesus is the king of the church. He is the king of the church, not only in the corporate sense, but individually as well. John records in Revelation 15 that Jesus is king of the saints. The church is not a democracy in matters where the king has spoken. One man pointed out that a certain church he knew gave people a choice in the matter of the mode of salvation through acceptance of Christ in repentance and baptism. That church does not have a choice. Jesus is king, and the king has already given his edict. He set the example in the method he chose in his own baptism. When he was baptized, he went up straightway from the water, and in the purpose It was repent and be immersed for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we read where churches vote as to whether to marry two homosexuals to each other or not. This matter is not up for a vote, nor is it up to what the polls say. Paul said that God has given the unrepentant homosexuals up to vile passions. The King has spoken. Some preachers and churches have canceled out hell. But ladies and gentlemen, hell still burns as hot as ever. That is, if you can believe what the Lord said when he said to the goats on the judgment day, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The King has spoken." When Jesus is recognized as the King of the church and the King of the individual Christian, the charge will again be made. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Jesus is King in the cradle. Jesus is King on the cross. Jesus is King of the church, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he is also King in his coming again. John said that he saw the heavens open and behold a white horse. And he that sat thereon is called Faithful and True. John tells us further that he hath on his garment and on his thigh his name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus will be King in his coming. At the judgment according to Matthew, his judgment will be final. There will be no appeal to a higher court. Sometimes in this life, if a judge makes an unpopular verdict, it may be overturned, or the judge may cave in to popular opinion. I've seen it done. But in the final judgment, people will have no vote, no input on the decision of the judge. Listen as Matthew tells us of the King's decision. These shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This decision should not be any surprise to the human race. After all, the King himself has given us ample information as to the destiny of men. Every person either goes to hell or to heaven by order of the King. Now here is a list of the things Jesus said about the destiny of the saved and the unsaved. First, notice what he said about the unsaved. Number one, whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell of fire. Number two, if thy right eye cause thee to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body be cast into hell. Number three, and be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Number four, it is better for thee to enter into life maimed or halt than to have two hands or two feet to be cast into the eternal fire. Number five, the sons of the kingdom shall be cast forth into the utter darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Number six, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Number seven, and the rich man died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. I have five brothers, lest they come to this place of torment. Number eight, these are they who are hidden rocks in your love feast, when they feast with you. Shepherds that without fear feed themselves, wandering stars, for whom the blackness of darkness hath been reserved forever. Number nine, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is prepared unmixed in the cup of his anger, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment goeth upward forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. Number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where are also the beast and the false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Number 11. For the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Ladies and gentlemen, the king has spoken, and that there is no appeal of his decision to those who are the lost, the goats on the left-hand side. Now notice what the king also said, as far as those who are the righteous are concerned, about heaven. Number 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again, and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Number 2, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Number 3, we are of good courage, I say, and are willing to be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. Number 4, I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. For it is very far better, yet to abide in the flesh is more needful for your sake. Number 5, he that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Number 6, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Number 7, he that overcometh shall be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Number 8, he that overcometh I will give to sit down with me in my throne, as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Number 9, and there shall be no more curse any more, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him, and there shall be night no more. And they have no need of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Those are some of the promises about the redeemed, given by the Lord and his apostles concerning eternity. And remember, it is the King who will say on the judgment day, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was King in the cradle. Jesus was King on the cross. Jesus is King in the church. Jesus is King in his coming again. Jesus is the only potentate, King of kings, and Lord of lords.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again: Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.